Welcome to Linda's Corner. My name is Linda Bjork. Today, I want to talk about everyday heroes. Often when we think of the word hero, we're thinking about comic book or movie heroes who have special powers. But by definition, a hero is a person who, in the face of danger, handles adversity through feats of ingenuity, courage, or strength. I really enjoy watching superhero movies, but I actually prefer everyday heroes because they're real people and they can help inspire us to be heroic as we face our challenges. Today, I have a special guest with me who is, by definition, a hero. My friend Kathleen Lane has faced incredible adversity throughout her life. Listening to her story is like listening to the story of Job, and I only know a fraction of what she suffered. She has endured abuse since infancy, abandonment, betrayal, rape, poverty, homelessness, losing her mother early in her life, losing a child to sudden infant death syndrome, having her children kidnapped, having a house burned down when she was a child, and then having that experience a second time as an adult. Once she was beaten nearly to death when she was 6 months pregnant. And once she nearly froze to death when she was stranded in the woods. She suffers from injuries sustained in a severe car accident. And all of this is just the tip of the iceberg. You can't hear all of Kathleen's story in one sitting, because it's too overwhelming just to listen to it, let alone to actually live through it. So Kathleen, with all that you have endured, it would seem so easy to become bitter and to want to curse God and die. But you have become a woman of faith. You are a woman who embraces healing and forgiveness. You are a woman who sees her life as a series of miracles and tender mercies. Would you be willing to share some of those miracles and how you have seen the hand of God in your life?
I would love to. I have to tell you, Linda, that is the first time in my life I've ever heard a synopsis of my life. Thank you. I have to tell you that really, wow, I never saw my life like that. And I didn't even know you knew that much about me. You probably know more about me than most people do.
We've had a lot of chats.
And they were all in short, brief moments.
Yeah, you didn't know I was listening, huh? I was paying attention.
Most people don't. So... like you said, though, I mean, I guess for me, I would say, I guess with what you said, the very basis that I'm here, I'm alive and kicking and walking on my own 2 feet is the synopsis of God is merciful and I am a product of his tender mercies. I wouldn't even know where to begin. I know it sounds really, really funny, but I would say the first great and merciful thing that God ever did for me was give me polio when I was 6 months old. I was born with my feet reversed. I was born crippled with a severe case of clubfoot where both of my feet were actually backwards. And immediately, of course, they started braces and blocks and started trying to force my feet to come back around where the world thought they belonged, and which would, I imagine, be very painful and structurally and traumatic for a baby's body. And when I was given the oral polio at 6 months old, I contracted polio, which of course released the muscles and allowed my body to conform to shifting. And so I would say that was one of my first merciful, tender mercies. I didn't even realize that until I was much, much older and started studying healing and nature. And I would say that's another tender mercy the Lord always put on my heart to help others, and a great, great deep desire to heal and to be healed. And so I always searched. I just loved knowing how to reach out. I have really truly believed from the time I was very young that what Christ said he meant is when he says that all these things that you see me do and more you will do. And I truly believe that he means that. And I believe that as we remember the divinity within us, and as we truly begin to connect with the soul children that we are, our divine Father and our Savior, that we really do have divine gifts, that we truly can walk this earth and heal one another, to assist in healing. And I've always had just this incredible impression that I want to walk this earth and reach out and touch others and heal their pain and take off the suffering that so many people have.
Of course.
And when I was young, my mom rolled a van and I was paralyzed for 6 months, and there was no apparent reason. I had a broken leg and there were contusions on my head. I had 160 stitches because of broken glasses, a broken jar or whatever, and so there was 160 stitches in my head, but there was no apparent reason for me to be paralyzed. And so one miracle led to another, and my father was helping someone build a office building, and he was telling them, my dad was military, and he was telling them, this man that he was working with, that he was having to make a decision whether to take this 11-year-old me in to have surgery. And the surgeons were giving me a 50-50 chance of ever walking again. And this chiropractor, yes, he was a chiropractor, my first introduction, said, bring her to me and let me see if I can help. And he worked on me. And after 6 months of being in a wheelchair, I walked out of his office. And to me, that was a miracle. Well, what me and God know is I begged God. I begged God not to leave me in a wheelchair for the rest of my life. Years later, for those of our LDS, when I got my patriarchal blessing, in my patriarchal blessing, there is literally a line that says, you will have many challenges and injuries, but you will never be crippled. I believe to this day, that is the promise of a merciful Father.
Wow.
Telling an 11-year-old child that he heard her prayer.
That's beautiful.
I have so many blessings in my life that have come like that, that come every day. Like, you guys have no clue. Linda, even being up here and having such challenges, we had no income and no food stamps and none of the luxuries or benefits or whatever. Someone sent us to my brother sent us to a chiropractor. We went to the chiropractor. There's someone standing on the corner with a sign that says there's a food bank. We go up there, and they have this church. They don't even have a building. They're a church family, and they create a food bank. And we were given just tons of lettuce and fresh fruits and fresh vegetables and eggs and the true nutritional foods that we were starving for. And it was just, there's little miracles like that every day. And if people really trust in the Lord, I think we're led to those blessings. I really think that we will be, you know, we just have to keep our eyes open and seek for our Heavenly Father's hand in all things. I know it's there. I see it all the time in the worst conditions, when we've been totally homeless, had nothing, had no income, no place to live. We've had miracles where we've had people just show up and help us out, or had food where there was none. I mean, just There's so many experiences. You mentioned me freezing to death. That was an experience where my ex-husband had taken me. He had abandoned us, and then he came back so that he could kidnap my baby, and had taken us to his home state and had kidnapped my baby, and then within 24 hours kidnapped my other two children as barter chips. And within less than 12 hours, basically left me homeless in a car so that there was nothing for me. I couldn't fight for my children or anything. And every time I'd get a job, his mother would basically make sure that the people would let me go. And the line I heard over and over again was, well, we'd like to help you, but you're just passing through. We have to live here. And I ended up in the woods in where my car had broke down. I was going from one place to another to visit my children, and it's 13 miles from nowhere. My car broke down, and I had pushed it off the road. In the edge of the road, there was these woods, and I was parked there, and I had hiked back from visiting my baby, and I literally had remember when I got into the back of this. It was an old International. And all I had was a couple of sleeping bags and a box with a couple of my with my clothes in it. And that's all I had left from what he had just taken everything. And I had, I remember curling up in those sleeping bags, and I remember praying, and I remember saying, I just want to be warm for a minute. I just want to be warm. And I remember feeling my Savior lay down beside me and wrap me in his arms, and this incredible warmth going through me, just flooding my whole being and falling asleep. And I woke up the next morning in this little tiny cabin on this little tiny couch by a fire, and this young man had decided to cut across the woods on his way home and had found me in the truck and carried me to his mother's cabin, and they had thawed me out and saved my life.
Wow.
There's angels everywhere around us. Heavenly Father, he knows where we are in the craziest places. He knows where we are. Whether we're in a snowdrift on the side of a road, whether we're in the woods where no one can see us, he knows where we are, and he can send people to help us. He sends angels, and an angel is someone who listens to his voice. And that's really the truth of it. You know, I learned, so about 2 years ago, things really shifted for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it got pretty hard. The world calls us homeless. I say it's our first real home. We got an RV, and we were having a hard time making payments. My husband had temp work. He couldn't get a really solid job, and we couldn't afford to keep paying on the house we were staying in Salt Lake. And so we got this RV, and we were living in this RV, and we started moving north in hopes of finding some land, and really ended up just in this RV. And government considers you homeless. If you don't have a permanent piece of place to park your property, you're homeless. And as we were homeless, you know, there were a lot of shifts. There were a lot of things that happened, not being able to find food, not find work, whatever, and not having food stamps, things like that. And the miracles just came. The Lord just, places we were in one Parma, in Idaho, is the smallest little place. If you blinked, you'd pass right through it. And the bishop brought us beautiful fava beans. Another sister brought us fresh vegetables out of her garden. Little things like that. Angels surround us. Angels surround us every day. And I've been amazed at how angels, and we don't know who is there watching. We don't know who's there to show up for us, but we have to have our hearts and our minds open. And so when I was going through a particularly challenge, and I found that my spirits were dropping, and I was struggling with, for the first time in many years, some depression. I was challenged. I heard this challenge, and I took it to heart. Two questions to ask or to look at is, one, every morning ask, where do I see God's hand today? And the other question is, what am I learning today? Because this is our school. We all enrolled to come here. We all enrolled because there was something we wanted to learn here. So we all came here to school. And so what am I learning today? This morning, I learned that no matter what you can't do, there's something you can do. And that my angel sister found a way to enroll me and get me proactive today. Where do I see God's hand? There's always something. There's always something. Whether it's that your caregiver that they finally send you is one of the most compassionate, fun-loving, beautiful, positive people you could ask for, you know, or whether it's being able to give food to someone on the side of the road at that very moment that you feel like you're the one that's down and out. You know, there's always something. Where is God's hand? It's there. You just have to look. President Hinckley once said that if we need to look for the little miracles, because it's all those little miracles that make up the big miracles that we notice. Well, those little miracles come every day. So if we're looking for them, we will see God's hand every day. And those little miracles will create those bigger miracles. And, you know, even being here in Washington, it's been more of a challenge for me. But as I've been here, I'm like, okay, what is it I'm supposed to be learning? What is it I need to do? Where's the healing that I still need to create? What is it that I need to learn? And maybe what is it that I need to forgive in order to be a more Christ-like soul? Where is it that I need to, refine my soul? What is it that needs to be refined? What is it that needs to be polished so that I can be a more true soul? And, you know, when you ask those questions of yourself, it's amazing what will show up. I mean, the simplest thing that you might have not even thought about, and you'll catch yourself and you'll say, oh, wow, I didn't even realize I was thinking like that, or I didn't even realize I was in judgment of that. A lot of times we have judgments that we don't even realize that we're in judgment. You know, we're trying to be a Christ-like being, and we think we're doing pretty good, and all of a sudden we realize, whoa, you know, I'm kind of judgmental about that, and I didn't even realize that. And so, you know, I think one of the biggest things I learned going back to Utah is just how judgmental I was. I thought I was a very non-judgmental, very loving, forgiving person, and I started to see a lot of judgmentality in my myself as I watched and observed things and all. And it was something that I really got to reevaluate. And one of the things I really learned is that when we're in judgment of something else, we're really only in judgment of ourselves. Because whatever we're judging outside of ourselves is a part of us. There's some part of us that either is fighting that in within ourselves in some level. It doesn't matter what level. If it's like we see other people that we feel are ostracizing their kids, what part of our children are we ostracizing? What part are we in judgment of our kids that we really want to be accepting, but there's something we're not accepting? You know, it doesn't matter what it is. And I think for me, that's one of the things I love about asking myself where I see God's hand every day, because in reality, there is no judgment in God. There is no judgment. You know, He is a merciful, merciful Father. And as soon as you feel judgment from Him, that is just a reflection within you to say, hey, this is something I want to let go of so that I'm in more equal place with Him, that I'm in more of a common ground with Him, so that I can be with Him, so I can hear Him, so I can feel His love within me. And so, I don't know, it's just a very I know it sounds trite, but it's a very simple thing, yet it's very challenging to look at ourselves in that way. If that makes any sense.
I absolutely agree. Something that you said with the judgment, and it's something that's a reflection in yourself. My sister gave me a similar message, and the way she put it was like this. She said, if you see it, you got it.
Right?
So and sometimes I think about that. So if you're feeling like, oh, so-and-so is doing this, it's like, wait, hold on. Where is that in me? What do I need to fix? And I think the more at peace we are within ourselves, the more at peace we are with the people around us.
Absolutely. You know, I really, it's funny that we can take that. I spent several years in a training, and one of the things that really started showing up for me was people would say, oh, you're beautiful, and I had a hard time taking it a compliment, or they'd make other comments as to how powerful they saw me or what they felt I was bringing to the table, and I would have a really hard time. And I would be able to say that to them, and I had a harder time receiving that. Mm-hmm. And one of the things they would often say is, you can't see it in someone else unless it's within you. And it's taken me several years to realize the same goes with judgment and with any hardship or anything else. If you see it or if you feel it, then it's within you. Because this world is all about learning. It's all about reflection. It's all about growth. And you can only grow from what you acknowledge or what you recognize. Literally, we can't, if we don't recognize it, there's no way to acknowledge it and there's no way to learn from it. So literally, the only way for you to grow from anything is to recognize it. And the only way for you to recognize anything is to see it, you know. And so...
So when you say see it and recognize it, can you explain just a little bit more? Because like you can have an experience and you know you went through the experience, but I'm pretty sure you're talking about something on a deeper level.
Right. So, I mean, okay. I don't know why, but this is what's coming to me. So how many times can you be in a bad relationship where you're abused before you recognize that you deserve to be in a relationship where you're respected?
Okay.
So I was raised in a relationship where I was severely abused. My stepfather was extremely abusive, and it went for years and years and years. So I went from that relationship into a marriage relationship, into another marriage relationship, and from there, I didn't want to be abused anymore. So I went into a totally loveless relationship, into a relationship where I cared for him and I nurtured him because I still believed in caring for people and loving people and taking care of people. But I didn't get anything back from it because he didn't have anything to give. But I didn't get abused. I didn't get beat up. I didn't get cursed at. I didn't get all these other things. So now there's this void for 15 years. So I went from all this abuse, which was a form of attention, and it was something, to an absolute void. And so then I spent 15 years with just my children, which was wonderful. And I learned so much. I could spend a week on that one. But then I think I started to wake up and realize there was more to me and what I was missing. And some of the things that I recognized was I wanted a healthy relationship with people I could communicate with, male or female. It wasn't all about a sexuality or romantic. It was more about, I wasn't really, at that point, I had kind of lost the interest in the romantic and the sexual aspect of it. Mm-hmm. It was more about, I wanted somebody I could talk to. I'm very intellectual, and I wanted somebody that was over 3 foot tall that I could talk to. I love kids. Don't get me wrong.
You have a height restriction.
I learn from them, and I love playing games with them. I mean, I'm a kid at heart, getting out the Legos, let's create art, whatever.
Right, but you wanted some adult conversation, a friend.
Yeah. And I wanted somebody that, you know, I could go to a good movie and discuss all the nuances. I wanted somebody we could have, like, go to church and then discuss, like, what we had been inspired. You know, I would do these institute training things, and I'd be the only one that heard what that guy said. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I had no one to talk to. And so I spent 15 years learning that there was something more to relationships. You know, there was a nuance in relationships that I didn't have. So I think that as we grow and spiritually and mentally, emotionally mature, then we start to look into those more spiritual, mental, emotional relationships. It's not all physical. It's not all just that tangible aspect, but there's a metaphysical level of connection and of awareness. And I think that that's when we start to find that satisfaction, that fulfillment that we're looking for, is when we start connecting on that more spiritual level.
Right. And as you're sharing your story, I'm recognizing a couple things. One is that you recognized what you wanted. And I think knowing what we want is an essential piece of the puzzle in getting what we want. You can't get what you want if you don't know what you want. And another thing is you recognizing that you were worthy of it.
That was huge. That's still huge. That's so huge, Linda. I don't even know how to touch that because it's so huge and it's such, I am still working on that at such a deep level. You have no idea. Coming back here to the very tribe that devalued me, I am struggling with that. So if you think of the ocean being a tide, right? And say I had climbed all the way up on shore and laid my eggs, and I was doing pretty good, and I had found some value, and I had all these beautiful eggs, and now all my turtles have hatched, and they're trying to get out to shore and find their strength and all, but the tide keeps throwing them against the rocks, and that's kind of how I feel right now. It's like I've forgotten that I do know how to swim. I'm a strong swimmer, and I can also create beautiful eggs. And so right now I'm really struggling to remember that I am worthy and I am deserving. And that without the temples open, it's really hard because that's one of my sanctuaries. That's one of the places where I go to hear his voice, mm-hmm. To hear the voice of some of my ancestors that have been there for me for many years and talk with me and guide me. Creating a new sanctuary is something I'm working on, not being able to go to the temples like I'd like. And that takes some self-discipline, but worthiness, and this is something we could do a whole discussion on this, but it comes from the soul. It really comes from a soul knowing. You get to know who you truly are. And that is something that we really get to visit because on a very real, very authentic level, we are heirs to a far greater world than we create or than we even acknowledge. And that's not just some of us. That's every single one of us. If you're here and you've got a tangible flesh and blood body, you are heir to so much more. You are worthy and deserving of so much more than what you believe right this second.
Right. And I think we need to be reminded of that from time to time because it's a feeling and a thought that you can have and it's comforting and then you get back into the everyday grind and then you forget.
Well, and it's easy to forget because it's not something we breathe, you know?
Right.
We breathe the dust, we breathe the dirt, we breathe the media, we breathe the day-to-day struggles. And Satan is right there. I mean, those negative thoughts are right there. It's a constant spiritual battle. I mean, there's a constant beat down to say, hey, you're really not what you think you are. But the truth is, we really are so much more than we think we are. And we really, if we can just find a place within us to remember that, we will create so much more than we can imagine.
That's beautiful.
We really will.
Well, Kathleen, thank you so much for sharing today and your story and your courage and your insight. I know will benefit so many people. So thank you. In closing, I'd like to share a quote from Kathleen Sender. She says, "You have to be brave with your life so that others can be brave with theirs." See you next time on Linda's Corner.